for plebs by plebs, dropping the Bitcoin only signal. Pleb Underground. Welcome everyone to the Pleb Underground.
Pleb Underground 77, no, 78, 6.15 gets you to heaven, no, but wait. Peer-to-peer, real Bitcoin that's not standard. You've never had flair, your gas is not stranded. Marathon's mempool gets more slutty. Portland opens up, explains what's dutty. They sidestep criticism, hit the strafe key. I don't stop firing, my pen's off safety. Range, out of band, more TX viable. Change miner incentives, then who's liable? Stacking ASICs, mining farms. Got a watch on my wrist, but no time for the arms. Yo, TC, when the watch fades, 2 weeks, 2 weeks. Yo, it's not a race. Rushing's for peasants, I tell the girl in lace. Hushing's not pleasant, but some out of place. Status bros, always be snitching. Debate this hose, always be bitching. Discontent building, your eyes be twitching. Discontent building, you could be pitching your own ideas, but you're still hitching onto hopium that you should be ditching. Past the hour that we call witching, the real bull starts when Coinbase glitching. Think for yourself, have a thought. Citadel culture, build a fort. Class of this epoch, what a cohort. Follow Plan D's TA or else abort. Bitcoin's unpredictable, don't want to short her. She calls me her daddy, but she's not my daughter. Heels off now, she's even shorter. Plug and play, she wants me to port her. Can't stop, won't stop, what is reckon? Not an insider, but I don't invest second. No longer, I dedicate an hour. No longer, I don't desiccate a flower. This ain't grime, I'm no saint like Frisco. Connected time, networking like Cisco. Not bait, giddy shots like Pisco. Not eight, fitty, taking the piss, bro. Not under my breath, I didn't utter. No mumble rap, I don't stutter. Only nice girls, none from the gutter. My meat looked after, only cooking butter. Get in the hole in one, use the driver, not putter. Recorded once, no need for the cutter. This ain't a game, the printer is coming, don't feel much, in time it's numbing. Bitcoin pumping, but not quite Forex. Trading currencies, but not like Forex. Elon Musk, he's not coding Forex. Speak from the heart, but not 4hex. My own time, the most scarce asset. Life a box of chocolates, it's sweet like Bassett. Got no silencer, I can be brash. Like the realist, welcome, Matias.
Walton, you totally made up for not being here last week. That was absolute fire. Guys, welcome back to Pleb Underground. And in case you didn't understand who is joining us, that's right, we've got Matias, the co-founder of BTC Prague. Thank you very much for joining us on Pleb Underground.
Yo, thanks for inviting me.
Sweet.
Welcome.
Yes, absolutely. All right, let's do it. We're going to move right over to the numbers.
The numbers, sponsored by BTC Prague, the biggest shitcoin unfriendly conference in the world. This is the biggest Bitcoin only conference in the world. Yeah. Kind of crazy, really. Like, it's displaced others. It's now the top dog. This is BTC Prague in the Czech Republic, coming in just a couple of months' time. They've got some of the biggest speakers in Bitcoin.
And don't forget to use the code PLEB for 5% off, I believe it is, for the ticket price, right?
Getting 5%. No, it's 10%, Phil. 10% off of the tickets. 10%? Yeah, that's right. Damn. Use the code PLEB. Right. You get 10% off the tickets to the biggest Bitcoin conference, Bitcoin only conference in the world, happening in Prague in just a few weeks' time.
At the time of this recording, the block height is 833,774. The Bitcoin fiat live changes. Nice changes. And anyway, sorry. The Bitcoin fiat exchange, 632. It's going quick. Anyways, total public lightning capacity, 4,583. That's not moving so quickly. Anyways, Moscow time, 14:57. Fastest fee, 26 sats per V-byte. Days to the halvening. That's right. Halvening is a real word. Saw it in Forbes. Anyways, 43 days. Boom. Those are the numbers. I was not ready for Ant's live update of the chart. Totally not ready for that.
I think it's called the halving. Like, I think you and Adam Back are wrong about this, but anyway.
Oh, wait a second. He calls it halvening too?
Yeah.
I mean, that kind of puts something on my side, doesn't it? I don't know. Okay, Matias, what are your thoughts? Is it having or halving, considering you are the co-founder of BTC Prague?
I would say it's halving. Yeah, it sounds better.
Damn, dude, than halving. I am so losing this battle.
I think halvening is there's too many syllables for the international crowd is what it is. But I want to hear about Bitcoin's hit all-time highs this week. Boring. What I want to know about is what are the numbers like for BTC Prague? What were the numbers like last year, and what kind of numbers are we expecting this year?
No, I'm glad you asked, Walton. Last year we had 6,500 people attendees coming. During 4 days, we had four stages. We had 160 speakers from all continents. We had 87 Bitcoin-only partners. 70 of them were present at BTC Prague with their booths. And I would love to give you a correct number for how many beers we drank during the BTC Prague, but it's countless. Yeah, it's a privacy issue.
Yeah, that is a privacy issue. Okay. All right. We're going to talk way more about BTC Prague with Matias during the fireside chat. But for now, in the numbers, let's take a look at some tweets that Walton provided us this week. Let's take a look at some of these numbers. So the first one, I don't know if this should have been part of Wrecked or just not going to make it, but Autism Capital, here we go. Today, and this was March 5th, today is Sam Bankman-Fried's birthday. The same day Bitcoin hit all-time highs and he's stuck in prison. Very, very poetic. Ugh. Very poetic.
Perfect word for it, Phil. Poetic indeed.
Yes, it is.
Because to some degree, I think in the last cycle, although I'm increasingly not a fan of the word cycle, I feel like it hints towards like plan B kind of stuff. But in the last, you know, the last all-time high that happened in 2021, to me was capped lower than it should have been because there were entities like SBF selling paper Bitcoin, and so there wasn't the same real demand on the market that there should have been if people had been buying real Bitcoin. So it is poetic, as you say, that this new all-time high happens on the birthday of the fraudster that capped the previous one.
You know, tinfoil hat, or maybe not tinfoil hat, but it kind of start when you look at it in hindsight, it kind of looks like he was an agent of price suppression on purpose, kind of just to delay the time so that the institutions that wanted to, you know, get their ducks in a row so they could start to offer a product could, and they could essentially, it's kind of like a way to hold Bitcoin at a specific price without making it look inorganic. I don't know. That's, I don't know.
So how much is Saylor paying him? That's the question.
That's interesting, huh? Yeah, actually, somebody mentioned that we talked shit about Saylor and stuff like that, which I don't disagree with. I just want to point out, it's not about talking shit about the cheerleaders. The point is that we shouldn't be hoisting these cheerleaders up on our shoulders. Right? Like, we shouldn't, just because these people are buying a ton of Bitcoin, like, we shouldn't just automatically assume that everything they do is just amazing and they can do no wrong. And, you know, they're just this evangelist for Bitcoin. It's, look, you know, nobody is better than their individual incentives. I'm just saying, you know, like, there's a reason we talk about slaying heroes. So
I think there's also something to be said about, like, just don't even meet them. Like, I was sat around having drinks in Madeira last week. Like 10 people, and I got a sailor opposite me. I didn't even meet him. Didn't even say hello. I don't care. Like,
just some dude buying Bitcoin.
Do you know what I mean? Like, this guy is a, in my eyes, he's a spook. And I think, like, a lot of people think he speaks well about Bitcoin. And of course, him and his company have bought a lot of Bitcoin. But do they self custody? Do they promote, like, good behaviors in the Bitcoin space, or do they just drive hopium?
Well, he hasn't hidden his take on that he believes in the US dollar, right? And the US dollar hegemony. So just saying, you know, like, he's, you know, people can say whatever they want to a certain extent. He has specifically said his statist views. So Anyways, all right. Moving on from this, even though this was an SBF thing that turned into a Sailor thing. All right. Moving on. Here we go. Walton, you provided this chart. Here we go. BitMEX research. What do we got? Final chart showing each. ETF hopium, huh? More ETF hopium.
What it's not hopium. Here? This is numbers, Phil. This
I
is
know
numbers.
It's numbers. It's hopium. So what are we looking at? So, all right. So they're sucking all the Bitcoin, supposedly. They're taking off significantly more Bitcoin than is being mined, right?
The more important thing is that they're buying up, I think, more Bitcoin than GBTC is bleeding. And so it's not just that we've got a transfer of the assets from Barry to Wall Street. We've actually got Wall Street buying up market Bitcoin or OTC Bitcoin in addition to that which is being sold by GBTC.
So what you're saying is we're going to get an Omega candle that's going to be green and not red.
I mean, I don't think this is good. This is more custodied Bitcoin that's being bought up. But these are the numbers.
But you see, but that's the thing, right? All of the NGU guys like Dot Kruger, all they hear when you say something like this is that boom, Omega candle, right? This thing just goes up. So yeah, I don't. Anyways, I have yet to. I don't really know if the ETFs are an enemy or not. I don't really look at them that way. They're an institution doing what they believe is right for them. I hope that we don't see what we saw in the 2008 mortgage crisis, where some of the biggest institutions disappeared overnight due to a perception problem. Maybe something similar is going to be set up with Bitcoin. Anyways, Matias, I'm wondering, what are your thoughts on, you know, like you're seeing this news from the Bitcoin ETF out here in the US. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, well, I'm not well educated on this topic, to be honest.
Neither
but
am I.
for me, it's not a good thing. I would rather take the slow approach and spread Bitcoin amongst regular people, plebs, entrepreneurs, family offices, rather than these big behemoths, which are actually the very reason why the financial crisis is repeatedly coming back, you know. So I'm not very happy about it, but it's happening. We cannot do anything. So let's wait. And personally, I think there will be a huge learning experience for ATF customers. I think there will be rug pulls. There will be some hurdles on the way. Yep. So on the end, who cares? You know, like, yeah, it's happening. It will make this cycle a little bit different than the last one. Some people will get wrecked. Some people will get incredibly rich. And I will rather take only the best Bitcoin, what can be found, and that's non-KYC self-custody Bitcoin.
I think, you know what, to your point, ETFs are going to become an incredible marketing tool for self-custody. So anyways, look, we'll see.
I hope
we'll see
what
the market does. Yeah, exactly. All right, guys, that wraps up the numbers, and we're going to move it on over to the Fireside Chat. The Fireside Chat is brought to you by BTC Pins. Check them out at btcpins.com. Use the code PLEBUNDERGROUND for, 5% off on your order. Awesome pins. Check them out. I always show you guys my collection. Fuck the Fucking Fuckers is my favorite one. So yeah, awesome pins. Great quality. Made by a Bitcoiner. Check it out at btcpins.com. All right, guys, welcome back to the Fireside Chat. As you know, we've got the co-founder of BTC Prague in the hot seat today. We've got Matias. So, Matias, thanks again for joining us. And we'll start right away. You know, like before we even get into the BTC Prague stuff, tell us a little bit about your Bitcoin journey and what led you to starting such an amazing event out in Europe.
Well, it's been quite right, but I can summarize it quickly, because like everyone, I have two stories. The first is when I first encountered Bitcoin. That was in 2011, but I didn't get it. And then I got back in 2017, just before the pump. And like one friend, he helped me. He introduced me to it. Again, he helped me to buy some first small amount. I really didn't believe it, but I was curious enough to actually try it. And then with the pump, I saw how it's performing, and it got my interest. So I start to really the research, and then the classic way, I spend most of the money on shitcoins. I start trading. I lost all my money during the bear market, and it took me probably 2 years to really get the whole thing, and became a Bitcoin maximalist. I had the privilege to have my own business. Everything was working fine, and I had a lot of time to actually read and listen everything what I found on the internet. So I remember ordering 23 books from Amazon, pretty much everything what I found about Bitcoin and crypto. I read these books, I listened to Antonopoulos, and a lot of things changed with COVID in 2020, because I had to come back to Czech, because I was living abroad at this time. And I used to visit some Bitcoin meetups and small conferences before, and I saw that there are no conferences in Czech Republic. So my brother, he used to work in e-commerce. He was visiting many different IT conferences, so he had some experience in this. He had some knowledge and some inspirations from these conferences, and I had a lot of experience from hospitality. So we put these two things together, and we start in September 2020 during the COVID time. Actually, it was a lockdown. And we found a very short period of 3 weeks when was allowed to meet in public spaces. And we threw our first conference, and we had 500 people there. The next year, we had 1,000 people. And the year after, we had 2,000 people. We had to change the venue. And then 2023 is BTC Prague, and that was a quick summary, and the rest is a history.
Absolutely awesome. Okay, so I mean, look, it sounds to me like this is kind of like a perfect fit. You know, like that's really what it sounds like to me. So let me ask you this, because I've always been curious about this, even with other conferences. Like, how do you decide? How do you pick speakers for these for your venue?
Well, we travel a lot. We always like to meet the person in meet the speaker in person, to talk a little bit if we actually find a common ground, if we understand each other, and we create the program, the agenda, because we feel that there is so much noise in the space that our attendees really appreciate if someone kind of create the whole program, so they get a very intense experience. And if they sit through the conference, they get all the information they need to without the hassle to search the whole internet. So we kind of make the events as we like, because we are Bitcoiners. So we feel like we pick the speakers so they fit to our own taste, I would say.
Okay. And so let me ask you this. Do you kind of target a specific mix of content for your shows, or is it much more geared towards technical conversations? Does that even come up as a topic of conversation? I guess I should start there, you know?
Yeah, no, it's a good question, because like, there needs to be a mix, and the conference has 3 days. We have 9 hours per day on three stages. So we really think about every single minute what is on the stage. We are not looking for some like only filling of the time. So we have four topics, which are kind of our guidance. And mm-hmm. those four topics are pretty much the things what we love about Bitcoin. And it's money, the hardest the word ever seen. It's open source technology. It's Bitcoin as a tool of freedom and liberation. And it's a Bitcoin community. So we're trying to put these four topics in the mix, and you can divide every topic into more deeper parts. But pretty much it's like, each of these topics has a quarter of the time on the stage, somehow sometimes mixed together. But Czechs are very, very focused on the freedom part of the movement. And we talk a lot about the technology, especially on the main stage, because we believe that that is the most important part for moving forward.
What can people expect this year at BTC Prague that maybe wasn't the same as previous years? Because you've said that the venue has grown, and it sounds to me like, you know, you guys are all about specific topics and expounding on all of them as much as possible, right? Giving people a lot of these nuanced discussions. So I guess, like, is there something specific this year that you're kind of excited about that you guys are showcasing that you can share?
Mm-hmm. Yes. We are changing the main topic every year because Bitcoin is changing. So we are looking at the sentiment of the market, and we are tailoring the whole agenda to the needs of the market. And now we see that most of the community already grew with us, and they are ready to kind of level up. It's pretty same like going down into the rabbit hole, but in this sense, level up means for everyone something else. For someone who maybe is buying on the exchange, it means stop buying on the exchange and find yourself a peer-to-peer a trader who you can buy without KYC. For someone, it can mean start using hardware wallet or do a multisig. Or if you are a Bitcoin whale, it can mean that you find some important open source project and you support them with your money. So we will be this year, we will be encouraging the community to step out from their comfort zone and level up. That means you find the way into the Bitcoin ecosystem, contribute somehow. Because most of the people who have been stacking sats for 3, 5, 7 years, they've benefited from Bitcoin. Mentally, spiritually, financially. So maybe it's time to give back a little bit, and adoption will happen anyway. So we are focusing on hardcore Bitcoiners, on people who actually are on the very first front of this fight. And if we somehow get maybe just a 10% of the attendees into the Bitcoin ecosystem as a workforce, that would mean that we would add another 400 hard workers, and the ecosystem needs that. The companies are asking for more people. They are hiring like crazy, and we believe that this is our edge. That this is the best what we can do now before the bull run, because there will be some craziness around. So it's not only about we are also trying to educate educators, because the conference is only 3 days long, but then the people will go home, and their mother, friend, family member will ask about Bitcoin, and they need to be ready to onboard them safely and in the right way to Bitcoin, so they will not get burned, because most probably they will. So this is our mission for this year. It's kind of and full of encouragement, making sure that people will build some trust between each other. We like to say that we're building bridges, because Prague is full of bridges, and the bridges are very important for the future, because we are meeting in the online world, and with upcoming AI we will probably miss some trust. We will not know what is a fake news, what is a real person. So I believe that the time when people will be meeting again in the real world is coming, and it will be more rare and more precious.
I have a question for you, and I want to share a tweet that this is based from. So this is a tweet from a friend of the show, Nifty Nay, who says that a lot of building in Bitcoin focuses on the startup builder culture, not enough focuses on the peer-to-peer cyberpunk freedom aspect, in her opinion. How do you balance these two things in BTC Prague? It sounds like you guys are very passionate about finding more Bitcoin builders. How to what extent do you promote peer-to-peer cyberpunk freedom?
Yeah, this philosophy is very close to me. I've been studying it for a few years already. Read pretty much everything what I could. And regarding BTC Prague and how we are handling it, we are also organizing DevHack Day, which is the very, very intense meeting of 500 devs and freedom fighters and hackers in the conference hotel, where we have four tracks which go much more deeper into these topics of first, second layers, sovereign individual stuff, 3D printing, and this kind of like techie style of things, of part of the Bitcoin, pretty much. And plus, we are organizing a cypherpunk meetup. So we know that these topics are very important, but still, it's a niche. So we cannot put too much of it on the main stage, because it would just not fulfill the goal of our conference. So for every topic, we have a special venue, so to say. But if I'm talking about the main stage and how we promote peer-to-peer and non-KYC, it's our absolute priority. In Czech Republic, it's very, very easy to buy non-KYC Bitcoin. It's normal. We meeting in a restaurant, we exchange cash for Lightning. It's something absolutely natural for us, maybe even before, because of the history from the communism time. We had to buy cash on the street to be able to buy some imported stuff, which were not on the market regularly. So we still focus on this, and probably every day there will be a panel or a few keynotes on this topic: how to buy Bitcoin without KYC, and pretty much normalizing this way of buying, because this is how Bitcoin was intended,
right?
Yeah,
it's intended for use without custodians and intermediaries, and centralized KYC exchanges are both of those, and they track you. So I love that. I love that you guys have a lot of focus on peer to peer. Which, if you were to compare your conference, you say you travel a lot. If you were to compare your conference to another Bitcoin conference, which one would you say it's most similar to, and which one would you say it's most different to?
All right. Last year I was on 12 conferences, and I would say that we are a mix of most of them. We are inspired by all of them. We always took something, and because we working on it the whole year, we don't do anything else that give us opportunity to really think about every single point of this conference, and polish it to the professional point where we are now. But to answer your question, I would say that from the ethos point of view, we are very We are very fond of Baltic Honey Badger. From the money point of view, I would say the best was the Swans Conference, Pacific Bitcoin.
Pacific Bitcoin, yep.
And from a community wise, I really like conference in Innsbruck. That's it used to be the biggest German speaking Bitcoin conference in Europe.
Interesting. Very interesting.
It's funny, one you didn't mention was TabConf, and to me it sounds almost like it's like you've scaled it up to be a giant conference at like with a heavy technical focus, but without becoming a shitcoin conference. But
Yeah,
I'm very excited for Prague.
TabConf is definitely on our list of best conferences, but because I'm not so technical, I don't go there. I'm really busy, so I cannot be everywhere, and I know that my brain would be fried only in few first hours. So I passed on this one, and I go to those who are more related to my my understanding of Bitcoin.
Absolutely.
Awesome stuff.
Yeah, it really is. So, Matthias, if people want to get more information about BTC Prague, where can they go?
So the best is just visit btcprague.com or our Twitter, and you get most of the information, or you can join our Telegram group. Ping us if you have any questions, if you want maybe some recommendation where to stay in Prague. We will be really happy to help you. And even though we are still a small team, we are keeping a very personal touch with every single attendee. So happy to answer questions, hear feedback, and just have a chat when we meet each other in Prague.
Very nice. Very nice. We're going to put that information in the show notes. And guys, we also have a ref link, right? Use the code PLEB for 10% off. And Matthias just let us know that if you decide to pay in Bitcoin, you get another 5% off on that. So there you go, guys. Take a look at the show notes, use the link. Guys, this wraps up this portion of PLEB Underground. We're going to move over from the fireside chat to Wrecked.
Welcome back to Wrecked, where it's not Bitcoin getting wrecked this week, but it is people shorting it. And who's been more famous shorting it
Oh, no.
than the guy with this terrible, terrible haircut? Gareth Soloway, who I believe is who keeps piling on shorts to Bitcoin, and is now getting wrecked as bad as his haircut. Yeah, guys, you shouldn't short Bitcoin.
Poor Gary. What's left of Gary at this point? He is like the living embodiment of that meme, that Simpsons meme, you know, where they're all sitting there going, "Stop, he's already dead." You know, it's that he's. Oh God. And I heard he just didn't he just short it again like 2 days ago?
I mean, you gotta, yeah, at least he has conviction, even if he's wrong. Like,
Yes.
I respect that. Like, it's like,
Okay.
but there's an aspect of, it's like, what is it, gambler's fallacy. It's like with, Calvin Ayre, how you just go, okay, well, I lost this one. Well, I'll just keep betting on it. So at least I have a, you know, I'm consistent. But yeah. Anyway, the next, wrecked this week to me is Coinbase, who, I referenced this in
Yes.
my rhyme, right? That it's not a the bull market starts when Coinbase is glitching, I said. Because there's something funny going on. Here we have a tweet shared by Uncle Rockstar, friend of the show, that said it's time for Coinbase and Brian Armstrong to solve these crashes already. He likes cheaper sats, but doubts those buying ETFs like providing the liquidity. It's like, I feel like it's one of the best indicators, right, for a local top, right, is when Coinbase is crashing. And I mean, I think, was it last week, they were showing like zero balances for some people, but yeah, there's something funny going on. Yeah. What do you guys think about Coinbase?
Yeah, they are clones. Yeah, I hate them.
I mean, there really isn't anything else to say, right? Like, they're total clowns. Look, I always like to remind everybody that Coinbase is implementing Lightning. And that's where you see the hay go across the field, right? Everybody's just waiting. That's two bear markets now where they dangle that carrot and they go, guys, we're looking at Lightning. Like, why do you waste everybody's time? Like, why do they waste everybody's time? They lie about Lightning. They've got hundreds of millions of dollars and they can't fix their infrastructure, or they won't fix their infrastructure, or they're simply being paid to have an infrastructure that doesn't work correctly when this type of thing happens. Why doesn't this happen to other exchanges? Is it really because they have so much volume? Really? I don't buy it. I don't buy it. And if they do have that much volume, like, think about it, okay? Another example, all those ETF providers that custody their Bitcoin with Coinbase. I understand that the custody aspect has nothing to do with this, but fuck, this thing's going down. Like, are you kidding me? I wouldn't be able to trust it. Anyways, Coinbase is not going to make it. I think they're down bad. I've been saying this now for a few days. I'm almost convinced that Coinbase will be organically dismantled. They'll be organically dismantled. Their IP and everything is going to get reabsorbed into another company, which is picked as the winner, right? And yeah, that's going to be the end of Coinbase. You'll see. That's just my take on that.
I think it goes one of two, well, maybe one of three ways this cycle. I hate the word cycle. I keep using it.
I know.
In the next few years, I think either Coinbase is going to wreck the people that it's holding Bitcoin for, or it's going to get wrecked legally, or it's actually like sort of part of the state, and the state wrecks both Coinbase and the people it's custodying the Bitcoin for, right? And the US government just goes, we're having that Bitcoin. Something's gonna happen over the next few years to Coinbase. I'm sure of it.
They never ask, right? They'll never say we're taking that Bitcoin. What they're gonna do is that there'll be some type of a crisis that all of a sudden happens, right? And it's gonna be the only way to save everything. So we'll see. We'll see if we're right, right? I mean, it doesn't make a difference. Time will tell. And hey, whatever happens, happens. But I don't trust them. I agree with you.
So the next story in Wrecked, we're going to have a look at a couple of shitcoiners that have got wrecked. And this tweet is from last week and is from some slime ball over at Taproot Wizards. But I kind of like the tweet. I didn't like it, you know, physically, but I like the tweet. So he says, this is Eric Wall, or however you pronounce it. So the market really did wipe out SBF, Quan, 3AC, and then it went shooting for all-time highs. Like, not as a joke, but for real. So Luna really did go to zero. SBF is really in a prison shell. Quan is getting extradited. Zoo had to drop every last one of his shitcoin logos from his display name. And Kyle is in a shed somewhere chopping wood. The cryptocurrency saga moves like poetry. How is this real? When you experience something like this, you need to take it in with every fiber in your body. Every hair should be standing on your skin. Like we discussed before the show, Matias and I are in disbelief about the current price, but I'm certainly not in disbelief about these shitcoiners that seem to get wrecked before this new run began. Do you guys like seeing these, you know, people's lies catching up to them? Is it Schadenfreude?
I don't follow it. I consider this a waste of time. So most of these people are blocked, and sometimes like a guilty pleasure, I open it, but it's just only a few seconds, and then I close it again.
It's like you go take a look at the poison and you're like, okay, that's why it was poison. It's okay. I'll put that away. But look, I don't like, I mean, look, I don't care about giving somebody I dislike their views credit. And I mean, there is credit when credit is due. And I think Eric kind of makes a good point that every hair on your, you know, on your arm should be standing on, like, on top, because the reality is that it is freaking weird. Okay, all of this is very strange. It seems like it's just, oh, these are coincidences of events that just took place and all occurred around the same time. But that is some messed up stuff, right? All of this happened. Bitcoin goes to new all-time highs just as, and of course, right, as the ETFs all get approved and they all, you know, they all get their hand in the cookie jar before, right, before it takes off. So I just, yeah.
And the shitcoins were getting wrecked. Like, I mean,
yeah.
Our TA guy, Plan D, loves to see ETH getting wrecked almost more than he likes to see Bitcoin pumping. And there's one more story here in wrecked of another shitcoiner getting in some trouble. Now, I don't think you have to be a statist to think this is a good thing or to appreciate it, that now we have the SEC filing a cease and desist case against Eric Voorhees and his crypto exchange Shapeshift, barring it from operating as an unregistered securities dealer in the US. To me, these kind of cases where the state is coming after shitcoiners, it's not that Bitcoiners believe that Bitcoiners are statists and they support the action. It's more that Bitcoiners like the fact that this highlights that shitcoins aren't decentralized, right? The reason that the state can come after these shitcoins and shitcoiners is because they have public founders, they have centralized infrastructure, and so they can be shut down by things like states.
Yeah, that is an excellent point, and you hit the nail on the head. I mean, this is the key. Now, interestingly enough, the shitcoiners love to, and it's so funny, we say the shitcoiners, and it's just like this giant blanket that covers like all of these people, but certain shitcoiners, right, like they absolutely love to frame Bitcoiners as statists. Right, statists, communists. That's a BSV take, by the way. The BSVers love to frame us as communists. But and essentially they love to use the example that we cheer Fed action, okay, and stuff like that. It's like, you're being disingenuous, and it's exactly your point. We don't give a shit. Like, we know the state is garbage. That's the point, though. This trash is taking your trash out. So it's not what it says it is. It's an affinity scam.
I cannot imagine being so twisted person to actually like being a founder of some shitcoin and deliberately like taking people's money and running these affiliate scams. You know, if you like to just like work on some new technology, okay, but don't add the monetary part on it. Yeah, if they are talking, they work on something better, and I'm missing the word, some new technology. Yeah, they can, but why they are selling these tokens to people? You know, it's just wrong. I don't get it. No, ethically, it's just wrong, and unfortunately, people need to go through the difficult way of understanding and touch the stove before they became Bitcoin maximalists.
One thing that clearly isn't wrecked is BTC Prague, because they don't take shitcoin sponsors. And if you don't take shitcoin sponsors, then when the shitcoiners get wrecked, you don't lose your sponsorship. There might be other conference organizers that should take note of this kind of planning, because it enables a more sustainable building when it comes to your conference. Guys, I have two more stories. One of, I'm going to show both of them. They're not related, but the first, because we're going to skip over it fast. The first one, shared by a good friend of mine, Uncle Jim, says that sharing a story about JP Morgan Chase's customers' deposits go missing, and the bank says it has no idea where the money is, and he says it's literally happening to his wife right now. The fiat banking system supposedly does bailouts, but also just is largely incompetent. Maybe don't store too much of your money with the the fiat banking system. But just, yeah, skipping over this, I have one last story, and that's that Jack Dorsey, really, I have to say, I saw him at Madeira last week. I saw some of his, like, talk or a panel or something. He does talk a lot of, like, word salad nonsense, but he does put his money where his mouth is, right? And he reneged on a promise to donate $5 million to RFK's campaign. Where was RFK last week? Was he at the Bitcoin conference in Madeira? No, he went to ETH Denver with Caitlin Long and a bunch of other shitcoiners. Like, so, you know, I think this is a really good thing. I'm not a huge Jack fan, but I do like that he's canceling donations to a seemingly Bitcoin-friendly politician when that Bitcoin-friendly politician is just shown to be, just a normal sort of politician that's just saying the right things at the right time. I think there's a bigger lesson here is maybe don't sponsor politicians at all. Full stop, period, whatever you want to say. Like, but at least Jack took the money away that he promised after RFK shows that he really isn't that pro Bitcoin when he attends ETH Denver and starts promoting, I think, Shiba and a bunch of other nonsense.
I agree. I upload Jack to withdraw the donation. I believe there is no Bitcoin friendly politician. There are just politicians who are smart leechers, and they see the trend and they are riding on the trend. So there is nothing like friendly and good politician. They are all bad. It's just the line of work doesn't allow you to be a good person. So we have a rule at our conferences: never invite politicians on the stage.
So let me ask you love this, that. Right? I totally love that. And so to that point, right before we wrap up, Recht, so you realize that may mean that, you know, you get slightly lower attendance numbers because you're not having these, right, these politicians, right, these people that bring in bigger crowds. So how do you, you know, like, do you just not care and you'd rather just stick to the signal and...
Yeah, definitely. We go with a quality, not quantity. We need people who are really true to the cause. We are not taking any shortcuts. And when you come to our conference, and I'm not saying this only because it's my conference, we have no negative feedback because the vibe is so good, because we attract people who really love it. We don't allow any slight shitcoin vibe, any bullshit, any progressive stuff. So any politics and this kind of games around. Yeah, we go with the truth, and the people tend to appreciate, and that creates a really, really great vibe, which you can find, of course, on other conferences as well, but not on all of them.
Very well said. Very well said. And I also, not a fan of the politicians. It was obvious that he was going to shitcoin. It was just a question of when, because we've seen this play out before. Anyways, Walton, you got anything else for Recht, or is that it?
No, that's it.
Sweet. All right. Well, that wraps up Recht, and we are going to move it on over to the Hopium.
The Hopium.
The Hopium is brought to you by CypherSafe. Check them out at cyphersafe.io. If you appreciate high quality craftsmanship, check out the Bitcoin Relot Triangle. That's right, guys. 16 ounces of solid titanium, beautifully crafted. Check it out at cyphersafe.io. That is the Bitcoin Relot Triangle. All right, guys, we are going to move through these Hopium stories pretty quickly. Let's dive into it. So first one, radar hits. Arizona Senate considers adding spot Bitcoin ETFs to the state's retirement portfolio. So the ETFs, right? The big nine that just came in. Now, all of a sudden, we're starting to see this. States are going to want to start adding those ETFs to their own retirement portfolios. We also saw BlackRock file to essentially be able to issue more ETFs through their purchase more ETF shares through their SIO fund, right? Their sovereign funds. This is like hopium on top of hopium. Okay, that's what this is. Anyways, this is one of the things that Bitcoiners have been saying for years. Okay, wait till the states start adding this to the retirement portfolios. And the reason why people mention this is because that money is parked and it becomes a dinosaur. Okay, like that stuff just does not move a lot. Anyways, I consider that hopium. I'm good with it. Anyways, let's move on from there. Okay, so this one is kind of interesting. When I first read this tweet, okay, from Byron D. Bothan, at first I thought that it was kind of like an attack against Bitcoin. Okay, so I'll read the tweet. It is an inherent, secure, tightly controlled asset with a regulated supply and is therefore a subversion to the whole basis of free market financial capitalism. Okay. And you can see here, Bitcoin is no Ponzi bubble. It's worse, an insurrection. So immediately, right, I'm like, all right, what the hell is this? So we're gonna dive into it. Obviously, links in the show notes, so you guys can read through the whole article. But this is, to me, the most important parts of this article. So here we go. This is where Alan explains that it's a tightly controlled asset and essentially his thesis for this. So here we go. Okay. There are three ways in which the Bitcoin system is inherently regulated, not by any governments or central banks, but only by an inbuilt design that can't be changed. First, the difficulty of generating a block. Second, the reward is halved every 210,000 blocks, or about every 4 years. And third, this will happen until a total of 21 million Bitcoin is reached. After that, there's no more that can be mined. This, I submit, makes Bitcoin the most tightly controlled financial asset known to man. It continually becomes scarcer until a present limit, until a preset limit is reached. So Bitcoin might not look like a Ponzi bubble because its price is volatile and it seems to be in the grip of speculators and scam artists. But in fact, it may be the only thing that isn't one. So I got to tell you, in the end, this Alan made a fantastic case for the separation of money and state. And indeed, this is an article which explains the meme rules without rulers. I mean, this is, I at first thought I was going to hate this article, but then in the end, when I read through it, I'm like, you know what? I'm like, this guy actually makes the case. it's pretty good. It's pretty good. Anyways, before we move on, do you guys have any thoughts on this?
I do like that there is more. What's the word? There's more focus bleeding through to mainstream media other than just price. Like some girl I know talked to me earlier this week saying, some normie who doesn't own any Bitcoin. I've been telling her about Bitcoin for a few weeks. The price has gone like increased by 70% during that time. But she said she read about it in the mainstream media, and it wasn't just that they said there's an all-time high, but they also said that there's the halving's coming, and she thought she should probably get some Bitcoin. Yeah.
I like that. Matthias, do you have any comments on this?
No, not really. And tell me, who is this Alan? Who is this Alan guy?
I don't even know. It's the first time I've heard of him. And that's kind of why I was a little bit curious, you know, because he used the word insurrection. So right away, I see it as not trying to get into politics, red versus blue or anything like that. But that wording indicates more of like a democratic type of leaning, you know. So for me, I just wanted to see where that article was going.
I mean, today I was buying some groceries, and in the radio in the shop there was an interview with one economist, Lukasz Kovanda, and they were talking about Bitcoin, in the grocery shop, you know. So it was some mainstream radio. I don't listen to radio, so that's the only time when it can get to my ear. And it was such a coincidence that I went to this shop and they were talking about Bitcoin. So yeah, it's there. It's leaking through all the channels. This cycle will be massive.
Yeah.
I went to a store as well just a couple of hours ago, and this is a like local convenience store, run by a man of I think Bangladeshi origin. There's a lot of people from South Asia in the UK, and you know they when the, their business they have you know cash and they have cards and they recognize inflation. So I've been talking to this guy for a couple of years now about inflation, and to me that's the kind of the perfect segue to talk about Bitcoin, because people need to understand what inflation is, what's causing it, to really I think appreciate Bitcoin, which to me is a that can't be diluted, right? And so that it's a good segue. But he brought up Bitcoin to me today and told me that his uncle had bought like a couple hundred grand of Bitcoin. I'm like, holy shit, that's a lot of Bitcoin. And he said, and his uncle's now just sitting around not working. I said to the guy, I've been telling you about Bitcoin for a couple of years. I don't think he's bought any still, but his uncle bought some, and his uncle's happy. So.
Yeah, his uncle's stacking. Speaking of which, before we move on to our final story, for Hopium, got a call from a family. Sorry, got a text message from a family member saying that they should have listened to me a lot, when it was at 15K. So I'm like, yep, you should have. I used to be way more polite, and I was like, no, it's okay, don't worry. Like at this point, I'm like, no, yeah, you should have. But here you go. This is what you can do now. You know? So,
See,
yeah.
I've got a beautiful one of those cases. I gave some a small amount of Bitcoin to my nephew who was born almost a year ago, and he's up more than 100%. And so it, like yeah, like it's a nice little thing that the family know about that they I don't know keeps reminding them. It's like, okay, so actually this baby's getting richer far, you know, kind of fast.
Faster than most people. He's getting a good head start. All right. Speaking of good head start, Walton shared this link with us. Actually, here, you know what? Before we go into that, let's just show. Before we go into that, let's just take a look at this Hopium right here. This is pretty fantastic. This is brought to us by fellow Bitcoiner Sai, who tagged us in this. Really appreciate it. This is at ND Ender Chris. So I got my personal bank accounts closed in December last year. For saving in a Bitcoin ETP. I took the fight and legally argued my case, and today I won. Double celebration plus the all-time high. Bitcoin versus banks. We have now started a council at BTCX Sweden for companies and private individuals who lost access to their Swedish banking infrastructure. We will help you win your case. That's right, more Hopium. Guys, the thing about Bitcoin is that it cannot be stopped. And the longer it sits around, right, the longer it stays here in society, the more people are eventually going to gravitate towards it. And the people who are able to contribute to the Bitcoin ecosystem are going to do it. It can't be stopped. Sure, you can hamper it for a time, but it can't be stopped. All right. Last piece of Hopium before we wrap up. Thank you, Walton, for sharing this link with us. I'm a huge sucker for everything. So as soon as I saw this, I'm like, this is pretty cool. What am I talking about? Many of you have been wondering. This is a tweet from A. Fillini. Many of you have been wondering what I've been up to for the past year. So here's a short thread about my journey launching at 22 Hardware. So it's called, I guess it's called The Portal, and it is the first mobile native hardware wallet. And yeah, they've got pre-orders open. I'm guessing this, yeah, it looks like it just connects right to the bottom of your phone, which is really, I mean, I think that's cool, you know? So yeah, I'm most likely going to be checking this out. This is bullish. And guys, you know what? On that point, a lot of people that come into the space sometimes get discouraged when they look at the hardware wallets or they hear about the complexity of the perceived complexity of software wallets and stuff like that, you know, that like something like a Sparrow wallet or something. Guys, look, for those of us that grew up without the internet, that saw computers from scratch, I can tell you that like I am super bullish on the development of Bitcoin and what is happening around the ecosystem, because believe me, having to configure jumpers on a modem, okay, for years just to be able to connect to the internet, that was the normal user experience, okay? That was normal, and people dealt with it. They put up with it because they wanted to know, and they were enjoying the functionality that they got. They were willing to put up with that headache. And to me, when I look at Bitcoin stuff and I look at the hardware and the software development, it is moving so much faster because we already have this base layer to jump from. So when I see developments like this, I'm like, yeah, it's just getting easier and it's getting better. So Walton, thank you very much for sharing that. I really appreciate it. All right. Do either of you guys have a comment about the last thing that I showed before we wrap up?
I think this is really cool. We need so many new tools for different use cases and just play with the technology until we find until we onboard most of the people, and then probably we will have absolutely different devices in 10, 15 years. And about Alex, he will be at the DevHack Day. He was there last year. So if you meet him and maybe talk about this, come to Prague, come to DevHack Day on 12th of June.
Oh, cool. Cool. Thank you very much. All right, Walton, you have anything you want to add to this?
Bitcoin to the moon, BTC Prague in June. Let's go.
Oh, that's absolutely awesome. And guys, that's right. This wraps up this episode of Pleb Underground. Before we go, Matias, one last time, if the viewers, the listeners want to get in touch with you, if they want to find out more about BTC Prague, let them know how.
Okay. If you have any question, please ping me on Twitter or Noster, or you can write email on hello@btcprague.com. Tickets are on the sale. There will be no more and we will be sold out. So secure a ticket before it's gone. I know the price of Bitcoin is going up, but don't wait up too long because the price of Bitcoin can go also down.
Absolutely. And don't forget to use your code PLEB for 10% off. Pay in BTC, get an additional 5% off. Guys, wraps up this episode of PLEB Underground. Don't forget, like, subscribe. Help us grow the channel. Don't forget to check us out on our audio-only platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Anchor. If you want to stream a sats, check us out on Fountain.fm. You can stream a sats through Breeze. Walton, how do we end this?
Fuckshitcoins.com. Please like and subscribe. We will see you next week.
Peace.